Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, my very special guest is Eric Lund. Many of you know him as the president of the San Diego East County Chamber of Commerce, but Eric is also heading up the brand new East County Homeless Task Force, and he's going to be talking about that on today's show. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Miriam. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure. Can you start by telling us what prompted the formation of this task force?
Yeah, it's a great question. The San Diego East County Homeless Task Force was basically created because of the need. People have long identified that homelessness is one of the key issues that really impacts their businesses, their lifestyle, everyday life. You know, everybody comes into contact with homeless folks, and it really does have an impact on the quality of life in the region. So the chamber formed the San Diego East County Homeless Task Force at the direction of the board of directors, and they made that one of their goals in this new strategic plan that they've developed.
Very good. How many homeless people are there in East County now, according to the last point in time, homeless count done in January, do you know?
So in the East County, which includes Santee, Lemon Grove, El Cajon, and La Mesa, as well as some of the unincorporated cities like Alpine and Rancho San Diego, we figure there's about 1,000 people who are homeless that are out in the public places.
And how many of those are without shelter?
Probably out of that, about 700 are without shelter.
And the rest are in some kind of a temporary shelter for the homeless.
Exactly. And there's about 300 that are in transitional housing right now. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few there.
It's also been increasing, correct?
It has been. Our homeless problem throughout San Diego County has really substantially jumped this past year.
So your task force has come up with a list of ideas. The first city that you're approaching about this is El Cajon. Now, as we're taping this, listeners, it's the week before the 4th of July, and probably by the time this airs, the El Cajon City Council will have acted on this, and I understand it's likely they're going to approve the plan that you're hearing about, but there will be similar plans put forward for our other cities in the region, and we'll be talking about all of that.
As well as the county.
As well as the county. Very good. Eric, I'm just going to go through some of the bullet points on this, and I'll let you explain how these things work. Some of them deal with housing. Some of them deal with other more immediate needs of the homeless, such as you've got a proposal for mobile showers. How would that work?
So mobile showers are just that. They have propane tanks and holding tanks to hold the water that comes out of the showers or out of the restrooms. And basically, it's a portable shower that can be taken from site to site and allows about 30 showers total.
Very nice.
That's what the tank can hold. There are three showers and a couple of potties inside of it. And it allows people to get cleaned up and have a shower when oftentimes they haven't had a shower for weeks and weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to be one of the toughest things about being out in the streets, especially in this heat. And, of course, if somebody is trying to find a job and they can't find a place to get cleaned up, that's a big problem.
That's exactly right. And we try to position the shower in conjunction with other services that are going on at the same time. So it might be that they're doing assessments to help people get into housing.
Great.
Or it could be feeding programs, things like that.
Very nice. Another item on the list is a new homeless services app to help homeless people find services. So I guess that means they need a cell phone, but how does this work?
Yeah, that came out of our leadership team. We have a leadership program called Leadership East County. And one of our teams came up with the idea that an app would provided services directly to the homeless in a really convenient way so that they could access those services nearby would be a great help.
Nice. And so if their need is they're hungry or they need a shower or whatever it might be.
Or they're looking for housing or, you know, because a lot of times they're looking for shelter. And so they can find it that way. That app will work in a text-only format as well as a smartphone. So a lot of the homeless folks don't have smartphones, the Obama phones that they've been given. They're text-only.
Wow.
So you have to have an app that works text-only, and that's what this app would do.
Okay, very good. Another item on the list is a homeless reunification program. Is that designed to help them find lost family members?
Exactly. There's a certain percentage of homeless folks out there who do have families or relatives that they are interested in reconnecting with.
Mm-hmm.
They may have, you know, had an issue where maybe that relative didn't want them around, but maybe they've changed their mind.
They lost touch, and maybe now they've...
Yeah, so it's a unique situation, and the Salvation Army has an existing program where they do that informally. And so what we've done is really created a formal program, and we're hoping that the Salvation Army countywide will pick it up and possibly even nationwide. But they currently do assist people to get back with relatives and friends. And so we're really just playing off of the strength of that program that exists.
How successful has that been? What were some of the more dramatic stories that came out of that?
Yeah, we've reunified this year, five people so far, and that's without any funding. So it costs about $500 a person to relocate them because there's follow-up counseling, pre-counseling, not only with the person who is looking to be reunified, but also with that destination family.
That's great.
Because we have to make sure that wherever they're going, that it's going to be a good fit and that both sides are positive about the idea.
Excellent.
And so that's really, really important.
It's really nice that you're taking a humane approach to this as opposed to some cities where it seems to be all about punitive measures. Let's just find them and, let's just go after people for basically being vagrants when there isn't any shelter space. There's no place else for them to go. So you're helping them find a place.
Well, we really believe that most people don't want to be homeless, but there are some who are, ongoing homeless and they don't want any services or any help. And those people, that may take a little more of a stick approach versus the carrot approach.
Yeah.
So we really are trying to first approach with a carrot and with incentives to get them back off of the street, get them into housing, get them into services so that they, if they're stuck on drugs or alcoholism, we want to help them with that. So that's the whole idea.
Very good. Mental illness, of course, is another big issue.
Yeah.
So another innovative idea is for the city of El Cajon and perhaps other places to hire a housing navigator. Now, what does a navigator do?
Yeah, it's an interesting name, but it really means case management. So basically people that are in a homeless situation take an assessment and it determines at what degree of risk they are currently at. And then housing navigators essentially walk those people through all of the services that they need in order to get them off the street, get them into housing, get them trained for jobs, get them off of drugs if they're having a drug problem or if they have a mental illness problem, to make sure that they also get services that they need.
Very good. And I understand there's also quite a number of people who wind up on the streets because they've been victims perhaps of domestic violence, battered women.
Exactly. So in that case, there's services specifically for battered women and children. Again, same thing. A housing navigator is really a case manager. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in East County, we do not have a single housing navigator. And we've already done assessments for 200 people who are waiting for case management to help get them into the services.
Yeah, I've really always thought it kind of astounding that the county of San Diego does not have a single shelter that it operates for the homeless. Here we are, the sixth or seventh largest county in America, and they don't have a homeless shelter. The expectation seems to be that if you're homeless out in the rural areas or the suburban, urban areas in East County, that you're expected to somehow either get yourself downtown to Father Joe Carroll's place or go into a crisis house. The program in El Cajon, which does have short-term housing for everybody, and it's a wonderful program, but there's a longer-term part of it. If you really want the job training, then it's a faith-based, and that's great for some people, but not everyone. And I've always thought, why isn't there a secular program someplace that anybody who needs it could go to without having to go to downtown San Diego?
Yeah, we really don't have a lot of services in the county. Most of the services are certainly concentrated in the downtown area because that's where most of the homeless folks are. Mm-hmm. But that said, we are starting to see and organize and coordinate much better the services that we do have. And you're mentioning the East County Transitional Living Center, which can handle up to 200 people at a time.
Yeah, they help a lot of people.
That's right. And that's one of our requests, is that the city consider another motel to maybe add another 200 people that we could then, in a non-religious environment, help them.
Yeah, so that's the next step, and I think that's a very exciting one, and I understand it's something that the El Cajon City Council is taking very seriously. They're also looking at more rental assistant funds also to support Crisis House.
That's correct. So the housing navigator is one piece. The other part is to help with housing assistance to get them into that first housing first model.
So great program, because so many people I've talked to who've been homeless, what you hear is once you fall into that trap, it's really hard to get out of it because the landlords want first and last month's rent and everything. And even if you've got, let's say you've got a minimum wage job, that paycheck, it's going to take a long time.
That's right.
Before you could ever save up enough to dig out of that hole.
And they need ongoing case management to help assist them with making sure that they are getting the job training they need so they can get jobs and get back into the mainstream of, you know, the community and be participatory that way.
Right. A lot of them want that. They just want a break. They've just been down on their luck. And
honestly, we've got a lot of people who maybe aren't even on the street, a lot of people who are actually living in their cars. Or in their RVs, and they're homeless as well. And so there's a lot of people you don't see who are homeless as well.
That's right. Or they're couch surfing or spending a different night at different friends.
The school system thinks there's about 2,500 homeless children in our high school district.
Yeah, that's really, really disturbing. And I've heard that it's even some of the lower level schools as well. And then the college kids also out here. I know that Grossmont and Quemaca College.
Yeah. Once you get out of foster care and you turn 18, then you're an adult and all of your support kind of disappears, right?
Yeah.
So the college district's definitely got a great foster program for foster children.
That's great.
Because helping them out.
No child should have to choose between paying for, say, community college tuition and paying your rent and never being able to get a leg up in life, so to speak.
And if they don't go into school or they drop out of high school, a lot of those kids are ending up in our jail system, and that's not where we want them, right?
No, and really, even apart from the humanitarian aspect of just taking care of people because they're in need, isn't it actually financially better for the community also?
Much better. And that's true of the relocation program, the reunification program. You know, it's a lot more cost effective to get people into housing and that kind of stuff, because when they're out on the streets, they're using a lot of emergency services. Firemen are picking up a lot of people,
police,
taking them to hospitals, and they're doing it multiple times. Mm-hmm. The police are getting 60% is what I heard. 60% of the calls they get are for homelessness.
Yeah, I know that's true in La Mesa, probably is all over.
So it's a big deal.
Well, and also we talk about rising healthcare costs, but if you have somebody who is, say, diabetic on the streets, or they have frostbite in the winter, they're out there, they're more apt to be hit by a car, have injuries, you know, heat-related issues. They wind up at the emergency room a lot, and then we're all paying for that. So it just seems like at least getting them to into housing, you would avoid those kind of problems. Whatever else they may have wrong, at least you could prevent that.
Yeah, that's one of our requests we've actually asked the city or recommended that they consider a full-time HOT team. And a HOT team is basically a social person along with the police supporting them to make sure that the homeless folks understand that there are services available for them.
Yeah.
And that's what the HOT teams do. We've actually requested the city consider full-time HOT teams rather than just part-time.
Really nice to hear. The next issue is kind of near and dear to my heart as a dog lover. As we're recording here in the studio, my two dogs are sleeping on this hot afternoon down here. You've also included requesting 4 spaces at the animal shelter in El Cajon for dogs belonging to the homeless.
Yeah, if you're homeless and you decide I am willing to go and seek services, most places will not allow dogs. And so they won't allow their dogs to either come in with them or to go into a shelter. They don't allow dogs. And so people won't take advantage of those services if they think they're going to have to let their dog go, right?
So the idea is you could just sort of check your dog in and check your dog out if you just need him there for an afternoon or morning.
Short term, yeah. So we've asked for up to 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's like cleaning up their act and trying to get off alcoholism or something like
Very good. Or they're in the hospital.
They need a little bit of time, right? And then if they don't come and claim their dog after the 90th day, then the shelter could take the dog and give it out to some other person.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of homeless and a lot of dogs out there with the homeless if you look around.
Right, it is. It's companionship for them.
And oftentimes that's the last, you know, positive thing they have going on in their life, you know.
Yeah,
it makes
true.
A lot of sense.
Another item is addressing the panhandling issue. I understand that there is a proposal to change signage regarding panhandling. Can you elaborate on that one?
Yeah, you know, panhandling's interesting, and it's oftentimes associated with homeless, and a lot of times the homeless are, you know, panhandling.
Right.
But not all of those people are homeless.
Well,
a lot of them live in group homes, or they're living in a house, but that's how they're making a living is by other people's
generosity. You just don't know when you see the sign.
Yeah, and the problem is that a lot of our businesses have panhandlers right in front of them, and it really disrupts their customers coming into the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd really like to see that squashed.
Yeah.
And so
I understand you can't outlaw panhandling completely.
It's,
there's some protections.
Yeah, but
there.
You can certainly communicate to the public that there is an alternative, and that
Correct.
Is to support the services that support the homeless.
Yeah.
And so there are a number of great, worthy charities out there that help homeless. And if people would give their money to those services rather than giving to the people who are asking you for money, it would actually go to a better cause.
Makes sense, because you just don't know. Are they going to spend it on food or housing, or are they going to spend it perhaps on drugs or alcohol or something?
Most of the time it's going into drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, unfortunately. And sometimes, as you pointed out, they may not even be homeless or in need. There are scam artists out there posing as homeless people, sadly, to collect money. So
there's a family, as an example, on Second Street, and they have kids. Mm-hmm. And their kids are very well taken care of. They go to school. They are dressed well and everything, but they're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And the family, the father of the family is like, I don't want to go get a job because I'm making $600 a day out here. Why should I get a job?
Wow.
You know, so he's making $600.
Wow.
Because he puts his kids out front and people feel sorry for them because the kids are out there. And so they're giving a lot of money to them, right?
Yeah. Not a good lifestyle for the children, though.
Not a good lifestyle.
Very interesting. So as we've mentioned, listeners, this is coming up for a vote before the El Cajon City Council. We are taping this because of the holiday weekend here. So by the time you hear this, we'll know whether the El Cajon Council has actually passed it. But we understand that it looks likely to go through.
Yeah. I want to mention that El Cajon is just the first city, and we're still going to go to La Mesa, Lemon Grove, Santee, and give them reports and updates on what the task force recommendations are for each of those cities. And they each have unique needs, and so you know, we'll customize our reports a little bit.
Can you give
us also going to the county as well? So,
can you give us a couple of examples of how you might customize this, if you know it so far, in La Mesa, Lemon Grove, Santee, or the county? I believe La Mesa's next up, is that right?
Yeah, either La Mesa or Santee. So they don't have animal shelters, so we're not going to be requesting spots for dogs, obviously. And they may or may not need a housing navigator, depending on how many homeless are in their areas.
Yeah, those areas actually don't have any housing for the homeless. Is creating some at all on your list?
Honestly, we live in San Diego where housing is scarce.
Yeah.
We really don't have a lot of housing, and that's a very serious problem here. And people don't realize that. They just love the weather, and they love the place, and they think, I'm going to live in San Diego, because if you could pick anywhere you wanted to be, wouldn't you want to be in San Diego?
Definitely.
I know I would. And so that's what's happening. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of housing. Even for renters who can afford it, they can't find places to rent, you know, right now in today's housing market. So it's very tough.
Yeah, imagine it would be particularly tough for a small city like La Mesa or Lemon Grove to do that. But what about the county of San Diego that has this vast unincorporated area and they own a lot of land? Do you think that the county can or should be doing more for the homeless?
So I know the county is going to free up a lot of funds right now for housing.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they are definitely moving in that direction. Is housing the answer? The problem is once you fill those places up, no matter how many you built, you would have more people coming because of the fact that you're providing housing. And so, unfortunately, sometimes the more services you offer, the more homeless you're going to attract.
Wow.
So that's been proven to be true.
So what on earth is the solution then? How do we reduce the homelessness when we're in an area that happens to be blessed with wonderful weather?
I think it's kind of like trying to eat an elephant, right? You can't just eat it in one bite. You got to take a lot of different bites. Or trying to see a whole elephant up close. You can't, you know, there's too many different positions. So the whole point is you have to attack homelessness on a multitude of different approaches. And that's what we've tried to do with the task force. We've really approached it a little differently than, say, the county regional task force. So they've got kind of a top-down approach, and we've really done a bottom-up approach.
Interesting.
So we have 10 different teams, and each of those teams are making these recommendations. They're not coming from the chamber or from me.
Yeah.
They're really coming from active people who are interested in helping to stop homelessness.
Yeah, we should add, I think, as I understand it, your task force isn't just the business community, although it's wonderful that business owners are stepping up to the plate, but of course they're going to bring one perspective. You've also included nonprofits that serve the homeless and others on this, right?
Every sector of the community.
So educators.
So that's the whole idea. The whole idea about it was bring together all sectors of the community, the faith-based community, hospitals and healthcare, bring in the police and law enforcement, bring in city, you know, management and elected officials, just regular community people that want to help. And we have a lot of those that are on the task force.
Very
over
nice.
200 people.
Wow. So that's just amazing, Eric. What a wonderful thing you're doing there. We should also mention that the County of San Diego, the news is just out this week, that they have hired a chairman for their regional task force on the homeless, which is different than the task force Eric is heading up, which is specific to East County. But the countywide one has brought in a gentleman from Utah, and his claim to fame, apparently he's gotten national attention for reducing chronic homelessness in Utah by 90%. It's phenomenal, with basically taking a housing first attitude of let's get them into housing, at least let people kind of rest and rejuvenate, and then we can worry about what other services they might need. Are you optimistic that having something like that is going to help with the problem?
Well, San Diego is different than Utah. So, you mm-hmm. know, housing-wise especially.
True. It's a lot cheaper in Utah to provide that.
And there's a lot more housing available than there is here.
True.
And that's going to be that's still going to be our number one big issue is the housing that is available. I think, for San Diego, maybe a little different but better approach would be similar to the East County Transitional Living Centers, you know, program, mm-hmm. where they actually help people get back on track, help them get job skills, and then help them with getting employment.
Let's talk about that a little bit. One of the things they do a lot of things, but one that's kind of interesting is they'll take folks out to a ranch or someplace out in East County, kind of a remote area, really, but it's where they're not going to be near, you know, the drug pusher or the bad influences. So they let them get clean, sober, they give them some job training skills, they'll actually bring them out and maybe have them work in a restaurant they own. They used to, when the Chargers were here, they used to go down and do vendor sales at the stadium even, which was kind of a cool thing, I think. The idea was really good. The only problem with it was that arm of the program was faith-based, so you had to be, you know, Christian of sort of an evangelical bent to take advantage of that. But I've always wondered if a similar program where anybody in need who was willing to go through that sort of thing could do that, even if they were of a different religious persuasion or no religion.
So I've had discussions with Harold Brown with the East County Transitional Living Center. He's willing to do a similar program that's not non-religious.
Wow.
So more of a 10-step type program.
Yeah. That's very interesting. So he just basically needs the funding to make it happen.
Yeah, really what we need is a housing location, preferably an old motel or an apartment building that would mm-hmm. be adequate to help house those people and get them transitionally through the housing.
Very interesting. Now, if people want to get involved, if some of our listeners want to try to help out, is there a need for volunteers or donations?
Absolutely. We do have a lot of needs, so, and even if they just want to provide their best ideas, we welcome that. And they can reach out to our chamber office at 440-6161, and that's area code 619. And they can call and say, we would like to be added to the email list of the Homeless Task Force, and we'll make sure they stay updated as to any meetings that we have. We have 10 different teams, and we welcome anybody to join any of those teams that they find the most interesting, because there's a variety of different teams. Each team has a specific topic that they're trying to attack. Mm-hmm. An example would be short and long range housing.
Wonderful.
Another example would be reunification.
Yeah.
Another example would be services. And so those are all there.
Yeah. And it's really neat how we're seeing members of the community come forward. Also, we just had a story about the owner of Jerome's Furniture, for instance, who personally delivered a load of something like 60 mattresses out there mm-hmm. to help homeless families at Crisis House. Or was it Crisis?
No, that was the Transitional Living Center, yeah.
Who personally delivered about 60 mattresses to help homeless families at the East County Transitional Living Center. Yeah. So I would imagine, you know, when you involve the business community and the broader community at whole, there's really no limit to what you can accomplish.
And that's the whole idea of the task force is, if we can get together as a community and bring all the sectors of the community together, honestly, you can, I think, solve this problem.
Yeah.
And again, 1,000 people, that's a lot of people, but it's not that many. And I think we can solve it. If we really work together, it shouldn't be any problem.
Well, that's such an encouraging thing to hear. And listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Eric Lund, who is the president of the San Diego East County Chamber of Commerce and the head of the East County Homeless Task Force. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
You bet. Thank you, Miriam.